Hello everyone, and welcome to day 12 of the World 2020 qualifiers and to our daily podcast. I'm back, and so is Andrew Nixon. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Ross. Hi, everybody.
Andrew, the two games today, they were pretty important, though, are the ones that would allow two teams to qualify for the World 2020. So we've got four of our challenges there now. The first was Afghanistan versus Hong Kong.
Joined now by Mark Chapman, who top scored today with 40 runs. Mark, it got a bit tense at the end. Did you think it was beyond Hong Kong when you were dismissed in the last over?
No, I don't think so. We've got some strong hitters lower down, and we have to show faith. We have to. We had no choice, and Babar just showed how powerful he can be at times, and even the three, you know, with a little bit of touch as well.
Their fielding was a bit ropey at times. You took advantage of it.
Yeah. Obviously, a drop catch and a couple of misfields here and there. And at the end of the day, in these close matches, it can cost you.
Who was a surprise Afghanistan batted first?
Very much a surprise. When I heard that they won the toss and chose to bat, I was delighted because we were looking to bowl first and put the pressure on them.
And then did it play much the same throughout the
day? Yeah, pretty similar. I think it played a little bit better to the pitch we played on against Ireland. Obviously, we had to play smart cricket with respect to the boundaries and the wind, and they those sort of things play a big part when you're playing on several different pitches.
This tournament as a whole is a bit of a roller coaster. Wins against Ireland and Afghanistan, but losses to teams that perhaps you'd expect to beat.
Yeah, it certainly has been. And obviously, the losses to Jersey and USA weren't ideal. We were looking to definitely cement our place in one of the top two spots in the pool stages, and I thought today was outstanding. The boys bounced back extremely well with a good win over Namibia, and today just topped it off.
And so now, what 2020 qualifiers? Do you think you can get through the main round?
I think we've always got to have faith. A lot of the boys play spin well. The conditions in India will be a lot different to conditions here in Ireland. But I think I'm sure we'll have a good pre-tour and adjust to conditions, and we'll take it game by game.
All right, well, thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
A bit of a surprise, actually, to start the day that Afghanistan won the toss and decided to bat.
Yeah, I think you tweeted that only 6 out of 24 matches seen the team in the morning have seen the team batting first win. So, yeah, a bit of a surprise there. But they handled the conditions reasonably well, I thought.
Yeah, Shahzad started particularly quickly. There was a bit of bad bowling, and Mangal scored 53 off 36. But Hong Kong really brought this back in. They fielded particularly well. There were two excellent catches, an absolute ripper from Kinshit Shah, and then Mark Chapman as well, whose fielding all day was fantastic. And they kept this down to a total that could, after the start, have been a bit unmanageable, would actually end up at 161.
161. Going off what had happened at the games in Malahide earlier, looked at that stage a pretty decent total, and you would have expected Afghanistan with their bowling lineup to have defended that pretty easily.
Afghanistan has started well. They kept Hong Kong to about a run of ball for the first 12, 13 overs, and the run rate actually got up to over 12 and over. But Hong Kong's benefit really was that they kept wickets in hand, and that meant that even though had a lot of runs to score with Mark Chapman in and Babar Hayat in, they were able to pull this out at the end.
Chapman batted particularly well. Very surprised he didn't get the Man of the Match award. He was a very exciting innings, full of some pretty inventive strokes. He got the ball where he needed to get it. He found the gaps in the field really well. He got out on the first ball of the final over. And you think that at that point, they needed 16 from that final over, and you thought, well, Hong Kong have, thrown it away there. But then Mohammad Nabi threw the game away. He went for a 4, then a 6 from Babar Hayat, then bowled a wide. In the last over, it's pretty unforgivable, really.
And two full tosses in those two balls that went for 4 and 6 as well. And then some bad fielding. There was a lot of really good running by Hong Kong. They put pressure on, but Afghanistan very rarely picked the ball up cleanly, and in the final ball where they needed two to win, they again threw wildly from the outfield and were nowhere near the stump, so they actually got home easily.
Yeah, I think it turned out that the fielding was basically the difference in this game. Hong Kong were very lively in the field, you're running after balls, taking great catches, where Afghanistan were the complete opposite.
In the second game, the Netherlands was playing Namibia, and Namibia batted. They started pretty slowly, which is unusual because they've started this tournament generally very quickly. But Craig Williams got going towards the end of the innings, and Nicholas Schultz, and they put up 135, which didn't actually look like it would be enough, especially given the morning game.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. You're 135. Namibia, I don't think, batted particularly well. Obviously, you're losing Bard and Snyman so early on in the first two overs. Really counted against them. Those two have given them a big platform throughout the tournament. And, yeah, after that, Williams with 43 from 32, and then Nicholas Schultz with 37 from 23. But really, once those two had got out, Namibia were never looking likely to make a big score.
The Netherlands could have started worse. Wesley Bracey just chipped one up off the first ball for way down leg side. Myberg batted quickly. They looked pretty comfortable until Myberg got out. But this was a weird chase. It never really looked like the Netherlands was going to lose, but actually, at various points throughout, they were losing wickets and just kind of crawling along.
Yeah, they seemed to lose a wicket just every few overs, and that set them back for maybe an over or two. But yeah, I think once they got to the last two overs, it was pretty comfortable. I think they needed 8 from the last two overs. And from the 18th over, they scored 9 runs, and then from the 17th over, they scored 11. After those two overs, they sort of got right back into the game and made it pretty easy for them. But yeah, a very interesting chase, as you say. But the Netherlands, I think, a well-deserved win to qualify for another World 2020, keep the 2020 international status for another few years. And yeah, I think a very good performance from them. And Namibia will now play a man in their elimination playoff, and I think probably just about back Namibia to come through in that game.
Yeah, Oman's been an interesting team, a bit of a surprise package, and the feeling within that squad is very good. They'll be confident, I think, that having looked at Namibia play, that they can possibly pull that off, but you have to think Namibia's strength in their batting and the fact that they've played a lot more of these T20 qualifiers will probably tell for them.
Yeah, I say so, and Oman have the sort of balls who Namibia can get after really well. So Namibia can, if Namibia end up batting first, they can put Oman under a bit of pressure, and Oman will really only have probably one or two batsmen who can score quickly, whereas Namibia have three or four.
Yeah, the one benefit they do have is their opener will be returning, having had a family issue, so that will help them. But they have depended quite a bit on Ansari to keep the runs down with his Yorkers. It will depend a lot, I think, though, on whether Namibia can handle their spin bowlers, and if there's a bit of turn, that might make the difference.
Potentially, but I still make Namibia just about favourites of that game. But obviously, we're getting a new team in the World 2020. Whatever happens in that match, which is which is good to see.
And the final qualifier will be Afghanistan versus PNG, which will be a shock to Afghanistan, who would have expected to cruise in. They had a bit of rain, which troubled them, but it's actually potentially a very interesting game because PNG can definitely defeat any team on their day.
Yeah, and perhaps to remember, Papua New Guinea still haven't lost a full international. This is another full international for them, so the pressure's on Afghanistan on that regard. It'll be an interesting game. You have both sides capable of big hitting, both sides capable of collapsing spectacular. So it should be an exciting game, and I think the fact that Afghanistan haven't made the semi-finals, I think, just goes to underline the strength and depth that there is in associate cricket. Ireland and Afghanistan get all the headlines, and quite rightly so. They've done very well in recent years, but the gap between Ireland and Afghanistan and Zimbabwe and Bangladesh isn't as big as people think it is. The gap between Ireland and Afghanistan and the next sort of half a dozen associates isn't as big as people think it is. So it's good to see that Afghanistan, in some ways, haven't got to the semi-finals.
Yeah, I think they've got a little bit to prove, too. I think they're a team at this particular moment that has to show that they are, in fact, still one of the best two associates, given that they have struggled in parts in this tournament and perhaps are starting to go past their peak years.
It's a possibility. There's a few players there who well, you know, they seem that they've been ageing for a while, but now I think they really are ageing. You know, there's a lot of players who, although their, you know, their passports and birth certificates may say they're in the early 30s, are probably, more truthfully, in the late 30s, and are probably approaching the end of their careers. So this could be a, you know, a last chance at playing in a global tournament for them. You know, if they don't get this, there's, you know, not another one until you know, 2019 World Cup and another World Cup in and a 2020 World Cup in 2020. So, you know, this could be the last opportunity for them to get to a global event.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to those messages. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.